Satyananda Maharaj, and let him immediately begin his presentation, Cultivating Divine Aspirations, following Srila Rupa Goswami's writings.
Yes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatya Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Please everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One last time, everyone, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Before starting, I wish to say how greatly happy I am to participate in this online presentation. I was very, very moved by Burijam Prabhu's presentation about how Krishna is always there and is examining us, and his hints that help us to pass the test of Krishna and get this great reward of bhakti, that is love into our heart. That these hints were very helpful, and these videos which I'm seeing, I really, of course, I cannot compare. I'm not so informed about what goes on in the visual arts, but they are really a genre of videos. I think you create meditative, contemplative videos which have a great impact on the heart. So yes, I'm very honored to be part of this. I feel very much being at the site of Giriraj by the vision, by the visuals in the computer, but also in the back you can see Gopalraj. Let me see how to, yes, here's Gopalraj on this side, lifting the Giriraj hill with his pinky of the left hand, and then next to him, just in my back, you find Vrinda Devi, who is one of the guardians, the threshold guardian to Vrindavan Dham. I will be sharing with you in 3 lectures some excerpts of the last work of Srila Rupa Goswami called Utkalika Vallari, which belonged to a certain composition of poetry. It's called Urdgirna. These are poems or writings which come deep from the heart of a self-realized soul and then are expressed through his speech and brought outside. Rupa Goswami writes at the beginning of his composition that he had tried to keep these secrets of his own bhajan for a long time hidden, but due to the pressure, due to the intensity of their emotion, he now will reveal them, they will come out. I like to think of it in an image of that is used for Raghunath Das Goswami's poetry. That's the image of the volcano. His heart is the inner place of the volcano, and then his writings and expressions are the lava, so to say, which comes out and rolls down the hills. Why are such compositions important for us as ordinary, devotees who are just approaching these higher states of Krishna consciousness? Why are they even relevant? The answer to this question is that if you come in contact with them, your heart becomes affected. In fact, Baladev Vidyabhushana says your heart melts. It's almost as if you put iron into the lava that comes out of the heart of the volcano. Then the iron, the cold and stiff iron, which is in contact with this, becomes warmed up and then finally glows. This is the whole idea of Vaishnava practices. We come in contact with something which is imbued with spiritual Shakti, and within the contact with this, we become transformed. The best example is chanting the holy names. The holy names are purely spiritual, and if we are in contact with them, especially when we don't have anything between us and the holy name, like aparadhas, anything which removes us from the holy name, then yes, as Bhuijan Prabhu quoted from the Antya Leela, then this is the quickest way to attain love of Godhead. Good, so let's dive right into the work. We find Rupa Goswami in the forest of Vrindavan crying. He is expressing a desire. He feels he has for so long practiced Krishna consciousness, but the ultimate goal, that is the personal service of Radha and Krishna, has not yet been given to him. So he turns, he says, I have this desire to serve Radha and Krishna. And he says, I think it will be fulfilled, because no one who went to Vrindavan had ever experienced that his desires were not fulfilled. Maybe we remember in this regard how Lord Nityananda appeared to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and he said, "Ari, Ari, Krishna Das, oh Krishna Das, go to Vrindavan, because in the sacred land of Vrindavan, all your desires will be fulfilled." So Rupa Goswami says, "I'm here in Vrindavan. I have these desires, and I'm sure they will be fulfilled by the power of Vrindavan Dham." Then he turns to Vrinda Devi, to Lasi Devi. Oops, I'm a little inexperienced. Yes, like this. Here's Vrinda Devi behind us. We turn as Vaishnavas to this divine goddess, Vrinda Devi, to allow us to have residence in Vrindavan, and then Nayane Hiribo Sada, that we see with our nayans, our eyes, the divine couple, that we sing in our Tulsi prayers. Rupa Goswami doesn't stop there. He turns to all the associates. He says, "My dear associates of Radha and Krishna, you roam with the divine couple through the land of Vrindavan. Please, please, you are always together with Radha and Krishna. Please introduce me to the divine couple." Then he says, "Oh couple, Hanta Santa Karuna Shudajari, you have lake-like hearts which are filled with the rivers of sweet mercy." We have here in the area where I live, near Berlin, 1,400 lakes, and from some of these lakes, rivers emanate. So this is the image which we have here. You have lake-like hearts that are full of condensed rivers of sweet mercy. Be kind to this wicked person and give him abundant amounts of love in his heart, which are the guarantee of seeing you. Now, why does Rupa Goswami want to see Radha and Krishna? In Krishna consciousness, we hear, don't try to see Krishna. Try to qualify so that the divine couple... Sorry, winter time in Germany. I try to qualify, act in such a way that the divine couple sees you. I will address this point of seeing Radha and Krishna or not seeing them a little later with some very interesting quotes from our Shastras. So why does he want to see them? This is very important to understand the heart of Rupa Goswami. He wants to see them in order to serve them. What do you do when you stand before God? You only have one question. How can I serve you? Prabodhananda Saraswati describes this in one of his works, the Sangita Madhava. He describes a soul who comes from the material world into the forest of Vrindavan, and in the distance hears sweet songs, and as he comes close, he finds the associates of Radha and Krishna, the gopis, singing and talking about Radha and Krishna. And he goes to them and says, please, you are the servants of Radha and Krishna, please help me to meet the divine couple. And the gopis arrange such a meeting, and then for the first time the soul comes before Radha and Krishna, and it's a big let us say a very moving encounter. First, they are so extraordinary, sweet and beautiful that he cannot really fathom it with his heart. But then when he composes himself, he asks, how can I sing for you? How can I serve you? Please give me these directions. This is natural. This comes from the soul. A desire to serve the divine couple in all ways. So today I would like to go with you through verse 31 in Utkalika Valari. This was just a little introduction where I will really go through the direct translation and through what Rupa Goswami expresses. I have to request all of you to shower your good wishes on me. We are all now a group of participants in the sacred effort to hear about Radha and Krishna. So here's the verse for you. Pradeshinim mukakuhare vinikshipan jano muhuvanabud vipukatkaro prasidatam kshanam adipo prasidatam drisho puraspuratu tadit kanachavi. I'm placing my forefinger into my mouth, and I call for you in the forest constantly. O my Lord, O my Mistress, for a moment be merciful, be merciful. May your beauty of lightning and a cloud be visible to my eyes. So Rupa Goswami says, it seems to be impossible for me to have the fortune of your direct and close contact, but I desire so much to have you only that I want to meet you from far off. And this is how he makes his request known. This person places his index finger in the hole of his mouth. I'm persisting in my request. I cry constantly here in the forest of Vrindavan for you. Be merciful to me. Please hear me. Be merciful to me. And let your sweet forms that shine like a streak of lightning in a dark rain cloud just one time manifest before my eyes. This gesture, we don't know it in the non-Indian countries, is a gesture of intense keenness. A beggar would do this. It means I'm like a calf and I long to drink from the udder of the cow. Calves can be very thirsty and very insistent and very persistent. I'm here in this forest of Vrindavan, and I know if a desire is placed in Vrindavan, where so many wish-fulfilling kalpa vriksha trees are, then this desire is bound to be fulfilled. There are amazing narrations of people who come to Vrindavan. They desire something and immediately it is fulfilled. Like even modern examples, like in my own life, as someone who has a lot of projects going on, I sometimes think I should meet this person or that person or that person, and sometimes I'm thinking impossible persons, impossible in the sense that they are not in Vrindavan, they are in America or Canada, or so it's impossible that I meet them. But very often I have seen that I'm going around Govardhan and suddenly, boom, the person I need to meet to discuss something in person is just coming out of the path, you know, as if he has been sent there. These are small things, but those who have been in the land of Vrindavan have seen also spiritual desires becoming fulfilled instantly, because it's an atmosphere where there are trees. Therefore, you must be very careful with your consciousness in Vrindavan, not that you have the unsubstantial surface desires going on, but that you are focused on the real ones. But Rupa Goswami also feels, if so much want a close contact, that's really a very bold desire. So I don't dare to ask for this. Let me see you from afar. And he invokes an image, just like someone may stand somewhere and see a cloud from which a lightning flash comes down. Huh? I want to see you. Radha, you are like the lightning. You have a golden effulgence, just like the lightning. And Krishna, you are like a dark cloud. So this is how I want to see you. When we as sadhakas discuss the extraordinary mood and desires of such perfected souls as Srila Rupa Goswami, light is shed onto our own path, and we become aware of these original desires that are there in the soul. Our times also in spiritual movements suffer from the loss of the soul or the loss of the self. But when you ignore the soul and its desires, it doesn't mean they go away. No. Ignoring these spiritual desires to be close to Krishna and serve him, they are anchored in the soul. They don't go away even if we ignore them and never think of them. But if we repress them, suppress them, neglect them, they will make themselves known in a feeling of emptiness, of voidness, of unfulfillment with what, with how we live our lives. We have in our heart this God-shaped vacuum, and it can only be closed with God. So therefore, when we hear such tremendous outpouring of desires, we become reminded of these desires. For some of us, it is we are jolted, thrown, catapulted out of our ordinary thoughts and our desires, and we have to confront our absent-mindedness and our being so much covered in our lives. See, the tendency, the great temptation of our times, and it is, we in the spiritual movement are no exception. The temptations is to deal with the symptoms of having lost contact with our soul and its spiritual aspirations, that these symptoms of like the subsequent emptiness and the subsequent feeling of not being fulfilled, that we deal with them separately. Oh yes, we deal with our emptiness, with our lack of fulfillment separately, or with our frustrations. We deal with them separately. We deal with the inability to enter fulfilling relationships separately. We deal with the frustrations which happen in relationships separately. But unless we come to the root cause of our malady, that is not being in contact with the soul and its spiritual desires for darshan and for serving Krishna, we will remain unfulfilled, and one problem will be exchanged with another problem, with the same result, that we feel empty and not in bliss, not in ecstasy, and so on. So Rupa Goswami's keen desires light our own path, and we will start to feel a transformation in our hearts, where we then want the association and the service of Krishna. This love, which also Bhurijan Prabhu talked about, this Krishna-centered love, has two symptoms. We speak now about spiritual desires. Huh? It's a deep thirst for the beloved. This means the intense and pure desire to make the Lord happy with our service. And the marginal quality of this love is complete absorption in God consciousness. This is discussed by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.272. This love is not formal, it is spontaneous, because it wells forth, it comes forth from the soul. Jiva Goswami speaks about this love in an analogy. Analogy is you take something with which you are familiar in this world, and through this example, which the analogy gives you, you are becoming aware of that which you are not familiar with. In Sanskrit logic, this is called Chandra Sakanaya. That is the logic of seeing the moon through the branch of a tree. Imagine someone doesn't see the moon. He's going through a dark night, and then he asks his friend, where is the moon? Is there the moon here? And the friend will say, yes, look there in the tree, the third branch, between the third and the fourth branch, look there. And then he looks there and he sees the moon. Of course, the moon is not between the third and fourth branch, but by pointing out to something which the person can see first, he can then hopefully see what is unknown to him. So Jiva Goswami gives an analogy. Just as the eye is naturally attracted to seeing beautiful objects, and does not need any encouragement in his attraction. The devotee is naturally attracted to the Lord. Such a thirsty, eager love is called raga, and devotees with such natural love are called ragatmika bhaktas. So the love of Godhead about which we are speaking is as spontaneous as the love which you and me feel when we see a beautiful object. I can imagine no one needs to be encouraged to appreciate the beauty of Gopal Raj here in the background. Isn't he beautiful? And his smile is, especially the glance of his eyes is very nice. Especially when you sit here, he's looking at me and checking me if I'm doing, saying everything properly. So when we see something very beautiful, our eyes don't have to be encouraged to look there. Like we may go through a wonderful path at the Adriatic coast, and all of a sudden our eyes see an island which is covered with beautiful trees in the Adriatic Sea, and we see a herd of dolphins rising out of the Adriatic Sea and playing around. No one has to say, just look there, don't look here. Everyone's eyes go like, wow, because they are attracted. So the same natural encouragement, attraction, which doesn't need any encouragement, which is there in the souls who, in the pure souls, who are together with Krishna. And when we hear their descriptions, their udgirna, their outpourings, we become highly attracted. And Rupa Goswami gives us here an image. He says, Radha, you are like a lightning who sits on the lap of the black cloud called Syam Sundar or Ganashyam. And I see you from the distance and I feel so attracted. This is the desire in my heart. This is the vision I wish to see. Good. I would like to now raise a critical question. Should we desire to see Krishna? In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, there are so many different speculations and concepts about Krishna, but as soon as the Krishna Sun arises within the heart, the darkness of material speculations is at once cleared off. One sees his master and fully engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. My dear devotees, at the moment what we hear about Krishna is a concept only. It's a concept which our material mind has. It's something which is not yet realized. It's a mental composition which is there. Only the moment you see Krishna, then the concepts are broken and you will see, wow, he's very, very wonderful. Prabhupada once was asked by one of my godbrothers, Prabhupada, how does Krishna really look like? And then Prabhupada pointed towards an image of Krishna. It was in Mayapur where there was a carving of Krishna, beautiful carving of Krishna, made from teak wood in his room, and he said, like this. And then he added, and when you see him, he will actually look completely different. Our eyes, our mind cannot understand Krishna. Atashi Krishna Namadi. But Krishna becomes revealed to us. Out of his own accord, he reveals himself. If we become inclined to do his service. Therefore, the devotee never says, I want to see you, Krishna. He says, I want to serve you, Krishna. And that implies the closeness with Krishna and so on. So it's, should we desire to see Krishna? Yes, by all means, because as soon as the Krishna sun arises in your heart, the darkness of the material concepts or speculations are cleared off. Jiva Goswami says the desire to see Krishna is the qualification of seeing him. If you always hear, no, don't see Krishna, don't see Krishna. Oh, okay, I don't want to see Krishna, I don't want to see Krishna. Then you will never see Krishna. When you always hear, you are too unadvanced, you should not desire to love Krishna, that is not up on your level. You will never, never desire to see Krishna. You have to develop your divine aspirations, which are slumbering, which are connected to the true self, and so on. The example which Jiva Goswami gives is Narada Muni. He had once Krishna's darshan, as you know. He went through the forest and he then sat down under a banyan tree and meditated with his mantra about Krishna. And then for a kshanam, a moment, he saw the beautiful form of Krishna as a spurti, that is a short revelation in the heart. I think you all have sometimes, for a short time, you read something about Krishna, you heard something about Krishna, you had the darshan of the deity of Krishna, and for a short time that image came into your heart and you saw, and then it was gone already, and so on. So Narada Muni had once a darshan, and Krishna told him, I regret that during this lifetime this will be the only darshan of me, but it was still very helpful that you had it, because now you have an eagerness, and this eagerness will wipe all the material contamination away from your heart. And it is this eagerness for wanting to see me that will give rise to my darshan. First Krishna comes in the heart as a momentary impression, a spurti. Maybe sometimes he comes in a dream also. It's like this. And then the second revelation is Krishna can be seen with the spiritualized eyes. Narada Muni said, from this moment on, whenever I chanted, the Lord appears on the lotus of my heart as if called for. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami answers the question, should we want to see Krishna? He says, by all methods of spiritual discipline, seeing the Lord in person is the true reward to be attained. That alone destroys illusions down to the root, so that pure love of God may flourish. And then he quotes one verse, which is well known to you. He says, it's from 1 to 21. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive action is terminated when one sees the Lord as master. For sadhakas like us, seeing the Lord will mean to hear first of all about the Lord, like we heard so beautifully from Bhujan today. And this is the path of hearing, where some impressions come in our heart. We may in our heart understand what we have heard in one way, and that is the first seeing, some impressions. Or when we chant the holy name and we come from a superficial chanting into a deeper level of absorption, and during this time we either look at the deities in front of us, or we close our eyes and pray to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, please accept me." And there is a contact. You make a contact with Krishna. This is how the seeing is starting. But then, after some time, when the devotee is matured, he sees them with his very eyes. And Rupa Goswami prays for that type of vision. And I want to introduce to you another great Vaishnava who, by his prayers, gives us an answer should we want to see Krishna. And Giriraj Maharaj, this is in his new book, I'll Build You a Temple, the Juhu Story. Please excuse me, I just will. Giriraj Maharaj describes in his book that once he had a appointment with a wealthy Gujarati businessman, Mr. Mehta, this Mr. Mehta was a devotee in the Vallabha Sampradaya, and he told Giriraj Maharaj that in the Vallabha Sampradaya they consider the prayers of Vritasura in the 6th canto, 11th chapter, to be the essence of their philosophy. And Mr. Mehta read these verses, these four prayers of Vritasura, to Giriraj Maharaj. And for Giriraj Maharaj, they sounded so precisely, exactly, so much in the tune with Chaitanya Bhakti, with what he had learned from Prabhupada, that when he came back from Mr. Mehta, he burst into the room of Prabhupada and asked him, "Prabhupada, I'm sorry to disturb." And Prabhupada was just doing something. He looked up, and he saw that his disciple was really moved and churned in his heart. And he told him that Mr. Mehta had said these verses are core verses. So Prabhupada motioned to the 6th canto, which was there in the bookshelf, and asked Giriraj Maharaj to take this book out and read the verses. Giriraj Maharaj said, "With Sanskrit and purport?" "Yes," said Prabhupada. So then he read from chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. This is something you would like to note, this part in the Bhagavatam. The first prayer. You must know the circumstances. Vritasura was in his heart a great devotee with spiritual desires and aspirations, but he was in a body which forced him to act in a different way, in a way of an asura. Asuras are defined as persons who are interested in their own sense gratification. I always like to say I'm in the same situation. I'm born in a body of a North German person. I have the pride of a North German in me. I have this disqualification and that disqualification, but I desire bhakti now. So Vritasura was in an armed conflict with Indra and all the devatas. Like a demon will attack, an asura will attack the suras. But in the fight, his devotional tendencies burst forth, and he did not want to live any longer as an asura. He didn't want to pursue his material life any longer, and he wanted to give up his body. A little bit like Sanatan Goswami, who came with these sores, which were where pus came out, and he said, I don't want to stay in this body any longer. It's useless for service. So Vritasura saw Indra, who could have ended his life, but he said to himself, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, what will this rascal Indra do? He sees everything materially. He will not kill me and liberate me from this body. Instead, I will now turn to the lotus feet of the Lord directly. So at that time, the Lord appeared as a spurti inside his heart in his meditation and said, very soon I will bring you to my side. Please ask for a boon. And then Vritasura felt encouraged, and he sang this beautiful verse. Aham haritava padaikamula dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuya manasmaritasu pategunangste grinita vakama karotikaya. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I be again able to be a servant of your servants who find shelter only in the dust of your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes, my speech and words may always glorify these qualities of yours, and my body may always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. So Giriraj Maharaj was reading this, and Prabhupada urged him on to read in the purport, and first line gave an answer to Giriraj Maharaj's question. Is this the Vallabhas consider this the essence of the philosophy? How do we deal with this? And in the purport, Prabhupada says, this very verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. It's the sum and substance. Sum means the summary of everything, and the substance, it means this is essential. This is true, this is real. It gives the, this is authentic devotional life. In this verse, again, I want to say in my own words, the devotee prays to the Lord to be again allowed to be the servant of the servant and engage. That's, so he wants to be allowed to be in the association of the direct associates of Krishna. And then he wants to engage his three attributes, the mind, the words, and the body in service. So just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu examined Parikshate Sanatana Goswami, the Lord will now examine Vritasura. Is this so? Do you actually want this? This is all Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He would say, no, 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 I will give you everything else, including enjoyment of Svaga, or heavenly planets, and liberations. Please take everything from me. But Vritasura shakes his head and emphatically refuses, no, no, no. In separation from you, my life airs are burning. How then will Svaga, paradise in heaven, make me happy? But when I meet you, I will attain the three blessings. That is, that my mind is engaged in your service always. Lord of my life, my words sing your qualities, and my body is engaged in massaging your lotus feet and other personal services. My dear devotees, these are the true aspirations of the soul. This is what every one of us wants, because we have a soul. Or not we have a soul, we are a soul and we have the body. Sometimes we think we are a German and we have a soul somewhere inside. No, I am a soul and I have a German, so to say. That is the right way of seeing things. And therefore I have soul desires, the desires of the soul. But they are covered by layers and layers and layers of material conditionings, which all come out of the false ego of identifying with something that I am not. It's the knot in the heart. No, it's a very strong bondage. So therefore here our devotee Vrit is continuing, oh my Lord, source of all opportunities, means you can have everything from the Lord, oh my Lord, source of all opportunities, I do not desire to enjoy in Dhruva Loka. I do not wish to be in the heavenly planets or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. No. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be the master of the powers of mystic yoga. Nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Three times he says no. I don't want the higher planets. I don't wish the powers of the yogis. I don't wish moksha if I have to give up serving your lotus feet. And then he thinks, I need to most probably make myself a little bit more clearer and tell the Lord about all my desires and what I strongly wish for. But I also know that the fulfillment of my desires depends solely and entirely on you, Krishna. He sings, Ajam, Ajatapaksha, Ivamataram Kaga, Stanyam Yatavatsatada, Shudata, Priyam Prieva, Yushitam Vishanna, Manoravindaksha, Tidikshate Tam Tvam. He says, let me describe what is going on in my heart. He gives three analogies. Just like baby birds who sit in the nest and wait for the mother to come and bring food and security to them, I long for you. Just like a small calf that is tied by the neck with ropes and waits for the time when he can go to the mother and drink. In the same way, I want to be allowed to come to you, my Lord. Then he feels in his heart, no, these examples are not good, because in these examples, both the bird and the calf thinks of his own enjoyment only. But this is not how I really feel. And he gives a third example. He says, to really express what is going on in my heart, this third example, please listen to it. Just like a wife who sits at home and is sad because her beloved husband is in foreign countries and is not there. I also wish for you to come so that I can serve you in all ways. The beloved wife, for instance, who sits at home, will think, oh, when my husband comes, I will make his favorite porridge for him, or his, and I will certainly also, make the room very tidy so that he can very nicely sit down. And I will even, and then she thinks of the private thoughts of a wife which enter into the very confidential relationship. I will give him pleasure in various ways. No? So in this way, I feel also, I don't want to just see you, I want to serve you. That is my great desire. And then he ends his prayer, because you must see in his psychology something happens that has happened also in Rupa Goswami. He thinks, oh, how can such a low rascal as myself attain such a good fortune? Then I want to go back to Godhead. Let me remain for some time in this world, but not an ordinary stay in this world. No, let me have friendship with the devotees of the Lord, not to persons who are attached to their bodies and so on. Therefore, he ends his prayer by saying, Mamo tamashloka janeshu sakyam, O my Lord, my Master. I'm wandering through the material world. I know as a result of my karma. Let that go on. Therefore, as I'm still roaming in the world, I seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of the external energy. But I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. My dear listeners, I think when we speak about a subject like this one, developing divine aspirations, we first of all need to understand what they are. What are the desires of the soul? And therefore, coming in contact with Rupa Goswami's enlightened poetry is informing us about this. And we may also feel at that time, yes, he is there like a beggar in the forest of Vrindavan. He feels deeply unqualified, but he wants to have a spurti. It means something which he realizes for kshanam. Kshanam is the word which Rupa Goswami uses. Kshanam means a moment. He wants to see for a moment an impression of Radha and Krishna. The image which he has given is like a lightning flash that comes out of a dark rain cloud. I want to see for a moment, if only for a moment, your kind presence in my heart. And his desire is to do service. Now, to approach this unearthing of our own desires, we need to do a little spiritual archaeology. And I believe in Vritasura's prayers, which are the sum and substance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, we find a clue. And this clue is to be in the association of devotees like now. I will take myself out of this, but when I listened to Burijan Prabhu this morning, I just felt, wow, now my world is in order. Yes, and I followed his line of explanations. I was there with Sanatan Goswami. I could feel his desperation upon seeing his own so-called disqualification. In his case, it's only a so-called disqualification. I could follow that the Lord examines us. My dear devotees, in your life, you all have Gopal Raj. I should not point with my index finger at him. Looking at you, like here in this background, he looks at you he is watching you. He is doing some, what was the word? Parikshyate. He is examining you. He is looking that in your heart these divine aspirations, these aspirations which come from the long neglected soul, that they will arise and he will respond. Ye yatamang prapatyante, the degree in which you are turning to him. I thank you very much. I am finished here. I am somehow very punctual. Prashanta, you should have a word of encouragement for me. what do we do, Prashanta? Do we ask for a question or do we go on?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, yes, you are very punctual, very wonderful. One question we can take, certainly.
Good.
Any questions, anyone? First one, Diksha Ahuja from Delhi.
Hare
Diksha, can you please unmute yourself and speak?
Yes, thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my respectful obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for bringing this very wonderful topic and helping us to introspect. So Maharaj, one question I had come across in this context was that when we go in temple and have darshan of the Lord, we feel very much satisfied, happy, and very closer to Krishna. But when we come back, when we are at our home, when we worship in our altar, the same feeling is not there. So I feel very indifferent that Krishna is a person, still why so much impersonalism is there, although so many processes of chanting, hearing, reading is going on, but why this impersonalism persists in the heart when Krishna is the same in the photo and when we go to the temple.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think it's a relevant question which many of us have. Yes, when we are going to the temple, there are moments when we have really, when we almost feel a communication between us and the deities, and devotees have spoken about this, that they may have had a question and a desire, and at that moment a flower falls from the garland and seems to confirm a question which they have given answer to a question. Why don't we feel like this at home when we have maybe home deities or pictures of the deities? I will expand your question also. We, on retreats and seminars, we are in good, high elevated consciousness, but when we come back to our lives, it seems we almost lose, if not everything, we lose a lot. Why is this so, and what can we do? You must know one thing. If you want to do something like being Krishna conscious, if you want to be something, you have to create the circumstances that allow this. For instance, if you want to rise in the early morning to do your sadhana, you have to, and to do not a sleepy sadhana, but to be awake, you have to create the circumstances of going early to bed. You can't, in other words, perform in your life or do anything in your life or be anything in your life if you do not create the circumstances that allow you to do this. So very often when we come into the temple or if we come in a festival, we come into circumstances or an environment, or you could also say an atmosphere that supports us from all directions. You know, there are devotees, there's prasadam, there are kirtans, there are the deities. And yes, then we can be very Krishna conscious. The art is, if you want to maintain this state of consciousness, you will have to somehow bring these or similar circumstances that support you into your life. If I want to be healthy, I have to have a good healthy diet, I have to have good air to breathe, I have to have maybe exercises and so on and so forth. Otherwise, I cannot be healthy. I can maybe have a momentary feeling of being healthy when I feel good and there's good circulation going on, but that's momentary. So we need to look at the circumstances that surround us and create circumstances. I always think of three circumstances that help us when we are at home. One is a favorable lifestyle. The second is philosophy, where we read regularly. The third is a practice. And oh, I forgot, the fourth is we need some form of Sangha in some ways. We can take in this lockdown times online Sangha or listen to lectures and so on. Or you are a Mataji, you can phone other Matajis and discuss with them. And so on. Some type of Sangha we need. So my answer to you is you have to create the circumstances that are favorable, and then only when the circumstances are favorable will it be possible for you to maintain your spiritual life enthusiastically. My dear devotees, I see that there are still other hands up and you want to ask questions. Now, for a lecturer, there is no greater joy than interested audience, but I sincerely think in the interest of time that we don't lose those devotees who have made plans for the rest of the day. We should end here. We are only 8 minutes too late. That's still within the acceptable borders. And please keep your questions. We will have a question and answer session with Bhujan Prabhu, Jagatarini, Mataji, and myself on, please help me, Prashanta. Is it Sunday, isn't it?
It's on the last day, Maharaj, on the 9th of January. So, yes, we can invite the devotees that if some of your questions are not being answered now, you just keep them, and we will open the chat for questions. Not today. I think day after tomorrow, we will be opening. We will be collecting questions. So, if you don't get through during the classes, which is natural. You will have another opportunity to have your questions heard.
Yes, so please remember what Prashanta said. You type your question into the chat box, send it, I'm not so computer scientist, but then Prashanta will get it and her team, and they will take it out, but... Somehow. Hare Krishna. Good. So I will close here. I will close my shop here, but I will continue to be at the retreat. Now we will, Prashanta will announce the next video, and then Jagatarini Mataji will speak.